I'm going to suggest we stop at 12:45 for lunch.
Okay.
Regardless of where we are.
I think I might have to do that as well. So let's see what we can do. So let's take 1082 and 1083 together.
1082, approve findings, authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements, and authorize the alternative contracting method of construction manager general contractor pursuant to ORS 279C and City Code 5.34, and authorize payment for construction of the Beach Park project. 1083, approve findings, authorize an exemption to the competitive bidding requirements, and authorize the alternative contracting method of construction manager general contractor pursuant to ORS 279C and City Code 5.34, and authorize payment for construction of the Gateway Park project.
Commissioner Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor. Let's take time to celebrate this occasion and also to recognize the important work that's being done. This is the start of the construction process for building two much-needed parks in East Portland. We are beginning this in the most cost-effective manner that we can, as costs rise due to higher costs in the construction trades. And so we are doing a construction manager general contractor process, which Christine Moody, the procurement officer, will review for us. The other important component of this is the community benefits plan, which is only available through this type of contracting process. And Kia Selly from Parks will go over that. First of all, Christine Moody.
Thank you, Commissioner. Christine Moody, Procurement Services. The ordinances you have before you ask for two exemptions to the traditional low bid process, using the RFP process to select two construction manager general contractors, one for the Gateway Park and one for the Beach Park project. Gateway Park is driven by several factors, such as technical complex design program, a contaminated site that has been capped, and the city's desire to create equity with a very high quality product after many years' delay due to budget limitations. The need to minimize construction impacts to the business district and immediate neighbors. Completing the project in a timely manner to allow the public access to the park in this park deficient area, and for PDC to complete the adjacent mixed-use development. And Beach Park will require specialized skills and experience in construction, methodology, sequencing, scheduling, and cost estimating for several of the design elements. There is also a need to complete construction as quickly as possible and to address park deficiency in this area. Technical expertise will be needed to best address the need for a collaborative effort between the city, design professionals, and the contractor to minimize construction impacts to neighbors and the operations of Shaver Elementary. Procurement Services and Parks will conduct a competitive RFP process to select the CMGC. Using this process will result in substantial cost savings to the public because the CMGC will participate in value engineering and constructability reviews and will help with the development of a construction phasing plan and well-coordinated project schedule. The engineer's estimate for the construction of Gateway Park is $5.1 million, and the construction estimate for the Beach Park is $7.8 million. These estimates include construction services, and a contingency. I'll turn it over to Kia for more information.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. My name is Kia Selly. I'm the Planning, Development, and Asset Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. Today, I'm here to discuss the community benefits plan for Beach and Gateway Parks. Exempting construction of the Beach and Gateway Park projects from the traditional low bid process allows us to integrate a community benefits plan with this project. The intent of the plan is to ensure that the benefits of constructing the projects accrue to the community as much as possible. Beach Park is proposed on a 16-acre undeveloped site in the Argay neighborhood of East Portland, adjacent to Shaver Elementary School. The community is highly diverse, with a very large and growing number of children. Development of the park will help address park deficiency in this area, and according to the 2009 master plan, will create a place of community pride.
That's right. We used that for another machine.
Here we go. Okay.
Well done. It's on our monitor.
Yep, there we got it.
Thank you.
This map shows the location of Beach Park, which is essentially south of Northeast Shaver. It doesn't actually have street frontage there, and west of Northeast 131st Place, which runs just east of Shaver Elementary School. The Gateway Park and Urban Plaza project is proposed on a 3.2-acre vacant site located at the corner of Northeast Halsey Street and Northeast 106th Avenue. The park will serve what is now a park-deficient area of East Portland, including the neighborhoods of Hazelwood, Mill Park, and Woodland Park. The 2011 master plan envisions the park as East Portland's living room. It's intended to help catalyze adjacent commercial development on an adjacent PDC-owned parcel, as well as support revitalization of the Gateway Regional Center. On this map, you can see that the location of Gateway Park is, again, at the corner of Northeast Halsey Street and Northeast 106th Avenue, east of I-205. Because of the locations of these two projects and our desire for inclusion, we have prepared a community benefits plan that will ask the general contractor to work in conjunction with the city in providing more opportunities for minorities, women, and emerging small businesses. The plan calls for an advisory committee with community representatives, including some from the Metropolitan Alliance of Workforce Equity, also referred to as MAWI, to review the performance of the general contractor based on plan objectives and to provide some advice and help when needed. The plan calls for an increase in utilization of disadvantaged minority women and emerging small businesses as subcontractors and provides funding to assist these businesses to increase their performance and capacity for this project as well as for future projects. The plan identifies a need for utilization of registered apprentices and minorities and women in the construction trades. This is paired with funding to support outreach and training programs for minorities and women in the trades, feeding the pipeline for a trained, diverse workforce in the future. It also calls for strategies that will support a diverse workforce, such as providing cultural competency training for managers and supervisors that are on the job site, as well as training workers as to how they can report harassment on the job. The plan also supports investing in East Portland with a desire for the general contractor to hire East Portland businesses and workers for construction. And lastly, the plan requires the general contractor to specify how union and non-union contractors and small family-owned businesses located in East Portland that provide subcontracting as well as goods and services will be able to participate in the economic benefits of construction. This concludes my presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much.
Christine, I have a question. What's the comparable model for this community benefits plan?
So some of this is modeled after some components of the community benefits agreement. And then some other pieces are modeled after city policy that we generally work with a MWESB supplier plan when we use alternative contracting methods. So it's kind of a mix of both of them.
And have we, with respect to any plan we've used in the past that's like similar to this, have we been able to test the effectiveness of these approaches?
I would say yes. So typically with our, because it's a negotiated agreement and there's a lot of conversation between the city and the general contractor before bid time, there's opportunities for additional subcontracting. Parks and procurement services are also intending on putting additional information within the RFP, looking for mentoring relationships between a general contractor and a small business. Offering up partnerships, and so we have an outreach plan that will be happening over the next several weeks before we release the RFPs, trying to put those connections together. So that's in addition to the plan.
Do we have any just sense about whether there's a quantifiable cost differential between doing the normal competitive process and then this more innovative approach?
I don't know the answer to that. Maybe you can ask it in a different way.
Well, is there a premium associated with this approach versus the standard approach we use in the competitive bidding process?
Cost more.
So, Commissioner, to answer your question, there is a cost premium up front because you bring the contractor on early in the design process. So there is a fee that you pay to the contractor, or we will pay to the contractor for that participation. They'll also provide cost estimating as we move through the design process. However, in my professional experience, construction manager general contractor approaches at the end of the project are much more cost effective because the contractor is part of the design team and is allowed and given that opportunity to really do value engineering as we move through the project. Also, when the contractor starts the work, they're very familiar with the project. So in comparison to a traditional low bid approach, the contractor is not familiar with the project, and so they're coming into that project cold, whereas in the approach that we're proposing today, the contractor will be very well versed on the design. And in fact, we are looking right now at the potential for doing some site work next fall, which will help us not only in terms of schedule, but in terms of dollars, because we'll be able to start some of the work before the heavy rains. So those types of cost opportunities arise with this approach.
One other question. In both the Fields and in Dawson Park, which were Parks PDC collaborations, we hit the ball out of the park in terms of the MWESB participation. Are you similarly optimistic in this approach that we can have outcomes like what we had at Dawson Park and the Fields?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Other questions? Thank you both.
Thank you.
Who else do we have signed up on this?
We have Lightning and Linda Robinson.
Come on up.
Okay, I'm Linda Robinson, a resident of East Portland and a member of the Portland Parks Board. I just want to express my support for this idea. From a couple of different perspectives. As a member of East Portland, I'm just really eager, you know, to have this and to have East Portland people involved. I think this is really important. I've been working lately with a group of business owners who, right along that stretch of Halsey and Weidler. The more we talk about it, and I keep injecting the park into our discussions, the more excited they're getting about what this park can do as kind of a focal point for that business district. Good. So involving them and involving some of the other gateway businesses is really, really great. From my perspective as a member of the Portland Parks Board, we have spent a lot of time the last 2 or 3 years talking about diversity and equity, in particular, equity in park employees, equity in park users, and in the process of procurement and all that kind of stuff. So this really helps address some of those equity issues that we've been really concerned about. So I support it, you know, very much.
Thank you.
Yes, my name is Lightning. On this issue, I'll represent Lightning Healing Man Sanctuaries. One of the issues, I do agree with the exemption number one on the competitive bidding requirements. And again, I like to see the contractors have more input on the design process. One of the issues I have is that, Commissioner Fritz, as you know, you tried to move R2-D2 under the bridge originally near the Pearl District. And I've noticed in the last few months, we haven't heard too much about R2-D2 as far as on setting up their tent sites and various things like that. At least I have not myself. Now, one of the things I have on these types of parks, where you're talking 15 acres here, is there a plan pertaining to the homeless, a homeless-friendly plan? Because where I have an issue is such as the Chapman Park. We have a lot of people out there. They want to use the park. They're homeless. And they tend to have a little bit more, say, confrontation because they're really not maybe perceived welcome in some of these parks. So what I'd like to see implemented is when we're talking the community advisory committees being put into place on this is that you have maybe, and again, I don't speak on behalf of R2D2, but you might have some people from various groups have some input on how we make these parks friendly to the homeless. And another thing I'd like to maybe propose is that when you're talking 16-acre parks, why we cannot take a section of a park and actually make it to where the homeless, if they need to even stay there overnight for emergency purposes, might have that option. Now, again, another area I'd like to look at on these size of parks, because we're talking 15 acres here, what about emergency preparedness planning at these meetings? Because we have large areas at these parks, and if we ever had an earthquake that really took place, we need these sites set up to where we can move people into them and make sure they can be taken care of. And when you're talking 15-acre open areas, we should also have large backup generators set up in these parks that we can run power. And these are all things to take in consideration if we really had an emergency to set this up. You could also even have little areas set up for campsites with actual hookups and various things like this. So I'd like it a little more input from a homeless-friendly, from an earthquake preparedness plan on these new developments, not on existing parks like Chapman, but new large development parks, to look into that. And would it not be better to have people off sidewalks instead of in front of businesses, maybe utilizing these type of parks? And I'd like some of the business owners out in the community to maybe have more input on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Yes. One question to a sponsor. In the diagram we saw of the Gateway Park, there's a placeholder for the development on the northern quadrant. And when we designed that, we had the plaza, which we hope would potentially be used for farmers market on the weekends or other uses. You had the park. Then you had the building. Has there been any further thought of how that building will be, how that space will be activated?
I'm glad you mentioned that, because we I can't believe that it hasn't been snapped up already. It's going to be a magnificent location. And if I was evil and into investing in embezzling and doing all the things that we're not allowed to do being virtuous public servants, I would certainly try to borrow the money to buy it and develop it, because I think it's going to be an absolutely fantastic opportunity to have a vibrant employment center or a retail commercial business right at the corner of a park, which is going to be East Portland's living room. I love that phrase. And so I think it's going to revitalize the entire business district, and that could be the centerpiece. So if anybody's watching, we're available for offers.
And so the Parks and PDC are still looking to develop that site?
Yes.
Yes.
And I agree with you. It's a absolutely dynamite site, and with the park and its location and the plaza, it's unique. Thank you.
Okay. Roll call.
Novick.
Very excited about taking these steps, the step towards having these critically important parks added to our system. And I'm also looking forward to the theatrical production, which features the alternate universe evil embezzling Commissioner Fritz.
Aye.
Fritz.
First, thanks to Commissioner Fish for having purchased these properties and done the master plan work and all of the grunt work that brings us to today. And I certainly appreciate your ongoing partnership in the stewardship of Portland's parks. And thanks to Kia Selly and Christine Moody, who worked really hard on this alternative process, building on the strengths of the previous community benefits agreement through Water and Environmental Services. This is a much smaller project, so we're not required to do a full agreement. However, I do appreciate the Metropolitan Alliance of Workforce Equity, who also have, in a very short time frame, worked with us. And they weren't able to participate today, but we will continue to work with them to partner on how do we take these somewhat smaller projects and still make sure that we get women and minorities and East Portlanders involved in the benefits of spending this taxpayers' money. Because this is a significant amount of taxpayers' money, I'm very confident that our staff, as always, are going to make wise use of every dollar. It is worth noting that the construction is being paid for with system development charges, which is fees paid by on new construction. So the council, when these new parks come online, will put into the city budget the operations and maintenance for them, so we're not increasing the deficit of our deferred maintenance or expected maintenance, but this comes from a different pot of money that we're not allowed to use for maintenance, so that's important for voters to know about. Aye.
Fish.
I want to thank Commissioner Fritz for honoring a commitment she made when she became Parks Commissioner that she was going to focus on building out the parks parkland and developing the parkland the city had acquired in East Portland. And she has been true to that commitment by dedicating the bulk of the systems development charge money and other discretionary resources to that purpose. And so this is another milestone. And Linda, to you and to a number of tireless advocates who have been pushing great visions, not just these two, but Gateway Green and many others, heartfelt thank you. And also to those who I think well-intentioned are starting to ask, how might we expand the use of these sites? And there was a suggestion at Beach that we might think of additional community benefits we could build into the park. I'll just remind folks that East Portland doesn't have built-out parks the way the rest of the city does. And so before we start overcomplicating this, let's deliver what we promised, which is parks for all people. And this is an enormous down payment, and I'm guessing before Commissioner Fritz is through, she'll find a way to fund the Park Lane and a couple other projects as well. So I'm honored today to support her good work and vote aye.
Saltzman.
Good work. Aye.
Hales.
This really is great, and thank you, Commissioner and team, for queuing up these great projects and for the community advocates who have helped bring them to this point. You know, the CMGC method of selecting a contractor is a useful tool, and this is, I think, a great place to use it in a parks project, not the norm, but a good one in this case. So I think you've chosen the right tool to deliver a great result. I think we're all looking forward to the reality of these drawings becoming parks. Well done. Aye. Yeah, I think we're about to lose a quorum, but you've got, second item. Yes, and then.
Novick?
Aye.
Fritz?
Yes, now we will be doing some more community engagement to refine the master plans and involve everybody in the process, so stay tuned. Aye.
Fish?
And I have to just observe that despite Christine's best efforts, today we authorized spending $2.5 million to buy cars from a dealer not located in Portland. And I think, you know, again, despite her very best efforts, and at the same time, we're making an investment of millions of dollars in East Portland. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Hales.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, so.